Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. David Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. And your phone calls right here today on New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. Come join us.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you or you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk and do so many crummy things.
We can
and
vouch
make so
for
many
that.
And they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here on this very, very hot summer day where I am right here at WQME in Anderson, Indiana at Anderson University. Thanks to the wonderful folks here that allow me to do this. But back in Laguna Beach, where it's always Saturday, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. John Townsend.
And it's 70 degrees and sunny.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, it's not bad for living in a bankrupt state.
That's true.
No, you have to make your choice there. Hey, how did Carmageddon turn out? I think it was all over the world that the place was
it was
shut down.
It was a non-event.
Really?
Yeah, and the good, you know, it's just nice when something works sometimes.
Yeah.
The reigning theory is that, you know, Carmageddon was about the 405 freeway, which is a major artery in Los Angeles, about 10 miles. It's going to go into major construction. And you had to take other routes. And that's the artery that takes you to the valley from L.A. Mm-hmm. and from toward Long Beach. And if you're from another part of the country, it's just a big, big deal in a traffic-congested state.
Sure.
And so they said for 2 days this last weekend, we're not going to have you can't drive on it, which has never happened. And everybody thought, and Henry and I were talking about it, Henry said, it's either going to be a non-event or the end of the world.
Yeah, one or the other.
One or the other.
Nothing in between.
And it was nothing. And the reason I said it is because it's nice for people to have things work, is that people listen to all the news saying a million times, don't get on the freeway, drive less, and they got it done. So sometimes when you plan right and people pay attention, it's just nice to see a plan work.
It took me a minute to figure out what you were talking
Carmageddon.
About, because I was in Hawaii all last week and missed all that.
Yeah, we were scared.
Well, when I was driving back from Wheel of Fortune on Friday with my daughter, when I could see through my tears, I was able there was not a lot of traffic, nothing unusual. I think people were already starting to get off the road, but my whole life was distorted, so I could have had a different perspective than
now,
what was
Steve,
really
not
there.
Not everybody who heard the show yesterday heard this story about Wheel of Fortune. Today.
Wheel of Misfortune.
Wheel of Misfortune.
You, what you almost had, yes.
Well, we lost, and it's humiliating.
We is you and Madeline.
My daughter and I signed us up to audition for Family Week, and boy, did we ever make a memory we'll never forget. And it's just kind of sad. But anyway, hey, we're glad you're with us today. And, you know, compared to what you're going through, losing at Wheel of Fortune, no big deal.
Yeah, there's some perspective there.
Yeah, no big deal. So very, very pleased to be with you today with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. John,
Henry just left.
I'm sorry, Dr. Dave Stoop. I'm sorry. Often make that horrible mistake.
We're
but
sort
anyway,
of like the Pep Boys, you know,
yeah,
Manny Moe and Jack.
That's right. But John, you've got a book coming out, Beyond Boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
There's another book you have coming out, or is that the only one this next year?
Best Friends Forever, which
Best
is how to have
forever.
Friendships.
Mm-hmm. Is that with Byron?
Yes.
And Worthy Publishing. All
it
right.
Is.
John and I are the first two books being published by a new publisher, Worthy Publisher. I'm doing Walking Into Walls, and he's doing Best Friends Forever. And Dave, you and I, we're working on that big book.
That's right. How are you doing?
Hey, plan to get started any day now, Dave.
What's the big book? What's the big
book? The big book for Life Recovery Bible.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, we're really excited
about
it.
You've given so much over the years with that book.
Thank you, John. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back with your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Don't go away. It's going to be a great day on New Life.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we are back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. Let's talk to Renee calling us from KKLA, wonderful station there in the midst of Carmageddon, Los Angeles, California. Hi there. How's it going?
Hi. Thank you guys for taking my call. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome. What's going on?
Oh, boy. Okay. I guess I'll start with the question.
Okay.
I wanted to know, is filing a sexual abuse or harassment case against, unfortunately, a pastor, is that biblical, like in hopes of getting him to understand the seriousness of what's happened?
Okay, so tell us what happened. Tell us what happened, and we'll see if there might be some steps that need to be taken before that. But
Can I ask a question first, Renee?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be concerned that it was not biblical? Like, is it like I can file a harassment case against a non-pastor, but it's not okay to do with a pastor?
Well, I guess I just want to make sure I'm taking the right steps, because I just feel like I just want to avoid the legal ram just in general. But
So harassment in general is not just a pastor. You're afraid you might.
No, just in general, yeah.
Like there might be litigation or something like that.
Right.
I got you.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about what is causing you to ask the question.
Okay. Well, for me personally, because there's other women that are involved that have come forth, my experience with this person, I looked up to this person as a friend, as a minister, and somebody that I respected and authority, and reached out to me when I first came to the church, broke in, and just really knowing I needed to grow in the Lord, and reached out to me and invited me to their place and was trying to so-called mentor me. And
his wife were doing that?
No, this is a young pastor. He's 33 years old, and he was single.
Okay.
And he reached out to me and found out, he found out that I was working in, like, mental health, and he had a question regarding one of his, I guess, members of the church and some things going on. And so he used that angle to approach me. In any case, it ended up leading to him always commenting about my figure, using that as a ministry way. He would say, "Well, you know, you have a very curvy figure, so you should just be aware that guys approach you on this, and this is how you can talk to them." And so he would want to touch me but make it seem like it's spiritual. So I struggled a lot. I said, you know, I just had a lot of things in my mind. And I knew that it was wrong, you know, and I'm also dealing with that. It went as far as, you know, grinding and him wanting me to touch him.
Oh.
And he actually taking notes as if he was blogging about this stuff, about how to combat these different things and how to, you know, and I was just really confused.
Renee, he's what you would call a spiritualizing predator.
He's a perpetrator, and you were the victim of that because of his position of power or respect.
And he puts God in the mix and makes it sound like ministry, and he's a predator.
Yeah.
He's a predator. Anyway, I'm very sorry about this.
Yeah.
Tell us.
And I didn't know that other women were involved, so this went on for a while. You know, he would just call and say, "Hey, I need help with this," and then you know, I will always be resistant to go over there. And he's like, no, it's just kind of, you're the only one that can help me with this, you know, and it led to the getting close and the touching. And it all got exposed where a sister came forth, and it was exposed that he was allowing her to perform oral sex for him for over 2 years.
Okay,
and
so.
I had no idea.
Okay.
What's happened to him? Is he still in that position?
So, well, they did confront him. He did step down as pastor. But the issue that I'm having and a lot of people are having is that he has an account online where he's still saying he's a pastor of the church and still commenting. And he's still, in a sense, posing as a pastor. And supposedly there's supposed to be a restoration, but I found out that that's not even going on. Everybody's trying to get things together. It just seems scattered, and there has not been a formal apology to the church. I mean, the church is scattered. People are hurting, and the women are hurting, and they just see this guy. He hasn't made an apology. He hasn't no type of statement whatsoever.
Okay. What's the question for us?
So, I like I said, just wondering, is that something I should do to file something like that?
You know where I would put my energy, Renee?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to filing, I would put my energy with the leadership of the church.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's a leadership breakdown where women are not being protected from harassment, and I would have several meetings. What I'd probably do is bring your sisters around, the ones that have been hurt by this man, and go to your leadership and say, here's the facts. You're supposed to be representing God here. What are you doing? We need some accountability. And press that very hard. Sometimes leadership is kind of wimpy, Renee. I'm sorry to say it, but they kind of want to cover things up and put the best face on and this sort of thing. But a really healthy church will respond to that. He needs to be disciplined, and he needs to be quarantined so that his toxicity doesn't go to other women. And the church needs to do that yesterday. But you may need to be the force that pushes the issue to them.
That's really the only place you can go, I think, with this issue at this point in time. Is to the leadership of the church. And if the church leaders don't respond, then that's not a safe church.
And I think the more you can depend on them, go to them, and the less that you can look him up online or see what he's doing, the more you can get yourself out of his life and paying attention to what he does, the better it's going to be for you. Now, we don't like to see people just let perpetrators go and nothing happens. And that's why the thing here is to put some pressure on the people, the leadership of your church, so you don't have to worry about this stuff. So something is done.
And you might have to say, Renee, if you guys don't take action, me and my sisters will file her harassment suit, and the church will be in that. We don't want you to have the publicity, but do we need to really go to that extent so that you'll do the right thing? I wrote a book called Now What Do I Do, which is kind of a systematic of taking a knotty, complex problem like that, and we'll send it to you so you can start to work it out with the sisters.
That sounds pretty good. It's just that the sisters have talked to the leadership, and there's nothing. They seem like they're scrambling. Everybody's angry. You know.
Then what you do is then they're not functioning as leaders. Leaders lead, and you say to them, "You're not leading. You're scrambling and angry. Me and my sisters need a path. What is your path? What is step 1, 2, and 3?" Renee, this is not like reinventing something. Churches do this. I mean, I've been in a bunch of churches that have a systematic program for doing this. And we'll be glad to give you the names of some churches that do this. If they say, we don't know how to handle this kind of sexual predator, there's hundreds of churches in the country to do that. So it's not a matter of we don't know what to do. They're not leading. So you just challenge them to lead.
Yeah, and that's the issue with the church, because the church as I step back and everybody's able to see things clearly, it was ran in a very legalistic way. It was pretty unhealthy.
Okay, I got a book for you. Go ahead, John.
Well, I was just thinking about a Bible passage, Renee.
Okay.
Where it says that in 1 Timothy, it says the law was for the lawless. And this guy needs law around him to quarantine him. And so you go to the church and say, we need a path. I trust you. My sisters trust you. Oh, we're going to scramble for another year. No, that's not okay. Do you want us to really go to the police? Or are you going to solve the problem?
Yeah, that.
Now, will you lead? And then they call a church that's done a million times, and you turn the crank, and the guy gets quarantined. This is just not that hard to do if somebody leads.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to send her toxic faith, and it's in a toxic faith church that these things are allowed
to flourish.
I mean, they could happen anywhere, but when they don't happen in a toxic faith church, they're dealt with, and actually people many times come out of this stronger than weaker. Mm-hmm. But here, you just see victims strewn along the side of the road because a man has a sexual addiction and is allowed a position, and people don't have a close enough relationship with him, the leadership, to either have an influence or to even know that he has a problem. So
we'll also send leadership beyond reason, because this is a leadership issue. Your church needs to show up.
Yeah. All right. Glad you called. So sorry for what you're going through. And let's talk with Rose from Queensbury, New York, from WBAR. Hi there, Rose.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, barely. We can.
I just have a comment. 20 years ago, I had an abortion, and I still have problems dealing with it. And I just want anybody out there who might be thinking about it to reconsider, and that it's a lie of the devil. And I think about the baby that I would have had every day.
Hey, what have you done to try to resolve this and heal from this?
Like, within a year of the abortion, I went to a Bible study where I'm from. Mm-hmm. And that helped a lot. I did my own therapy where I made a baby book. And
how old are you now, Rose?
I just turned 40.
Okay. You know, if you're thinking about this every day, it says to me that there might be some unresolved issues here. And you sound like you kind of got stuck back there a little bit. You know, I pressured a young woman to have an abortion, and I regret it to this day, but I don't think about it every day. Now, when you had this abortion, how old were you?
I was 19.
Mm-hmm. And how did you, who took you to get the abortion?
The boyfriend I had at the time.
And did you want to keep the baby, or did he, or did you want to have the abortion, or how did that go?
I basically decided, because the way I grew up, that wasn't supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just kind of supportive, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you tell your parents about it?
My mother kind of knew. She she found where I had written down some phone numbers in my pocket.
Yeah.
And when I came home from college, she did my laundry and found it.
Have you talked with her about it?
She died a couple of months after the abortion.
Oh, okay.
Rose, how the last 20 years, besides the abortion, how's life been? Are you... Do you have a job? Are you in relationships?
I do have a job. I mean, you know, I pretty much do what I'm supposed to. I didn't finish college. I'm thinking about going back to
college. Your life is pretty stable and okay. Do you have supportive relationships around you?
I'm married, but it could be better. And I told him so.
Let me make a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
You report that you still get bothered every day by this. That's what Steve noted that as well. And that means that there's a wound. Now, when we have a wound, that's something that's still in the present. It still hurts. I can't get it off my mind. It gets in my way of my life. I obsess about it. But God didn't intend us to be wounded forever. A wound is supposed to turn Rose into something called a memory. And the memory is something that's in our data banks, and we learn from it, and we revisit it from time to time. But when wounds stay wounds and they don't become memories, they're not useful to us and they can disrupt our life. So what I would want for you would be to investigate, have I thoroughly received forgiveness with some people that I love who tell me that it's okay and they love me and receive it from God, receive it from others. The forgiveness aspect, but also have I thoroughly grieved? Have I really felt the loss that I need to feel? Those are the two keys that God provides for us to help a wound become a memory. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, but there's also a third one, and when we come back from the break, I want to talk about that.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called, and we're a ministry that's quite sensitive to people who've been through an abortion, and if you're still struggling, there is a lot of healing that can take place. When that healing takes place, then you can help other people to heal, and then what was meant for evil turns out to be a force for good. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion. Maybe you need a marriage tune-up. Maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back. We're talking with Rose, and Rose is like many people who have had an abortion. There are still effects of it, and if you're listening, you know, this weekend, you could still come to the New Life Weekend this weekend in Philadelphia. Just at least call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask about it, because we have wonderful, wonderful life-changing experiences for women that have had an abortion. I had one woman stand up at the end of it. She had never told a soul in 30 years. And before it was over with, she was up saying, you know, I'm healing from this. And she was making giant steps in the healing process. And so it is a place where you could heal from post-abortion syndrome, whether you're a woman or you are a man. Dave, you had something else you wanted to say to Rose.
Something that I do with women who are in the place you're in, Rose, is to suggest that they contact the local crisis pregnancy center and offer to volunteer, to do whatever, and just become a part of it. And even to tell your story to some of the girls that come in for advice. But I've had a number of women who, I mean, one woman in particular I remember that was in her 70s, and it had been 40 years probably that she'd carried that around, and she could not talk about it without breaking down. And when she started working at the Crisis Pregnancy Center, it totally restored her sense of who she was. It restored, she was able to experience healing and forgiveness, and just by ministering to others. And, you know, Steve, you have that saying, you know, turn your misery into a ministry. And I think that's the other option that goes along with the grieving that you mentioned, John.
You know, it's also in the Bible, that principle you guys are talking about in Joel chapter 2, Rose, says that God's going to restore the years that the locusts have stolen from us, and the locust stole some things from you. And as you work in that process, you can find people that feel relief and understanding and identification from yourself. Mm-hmm. That's a good suggestion.
Well, I'm going to send her healing as a choice, and I hope that will foster the healing. But I want to remind everybody, this New Life Weekend is one healing experience after another. And so please consider calling us and just asking about it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, healing is a choice, the New Life Weekend. All right, let's go to our next caller, and let's talk with Donna from Orlando, Florida. WTLN is the station. Hello, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, beautiful music in the background. Can you turn it down, though?
And
we'll buy the album. Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. I have a question, and then I'll give you some background. My question is, should I get a divorce? Is it just time to bury everything and move on? That's my question. I've been married for 6 years. I'm married to Mr. Wonderful himself. He's perfect. Comes home, has this real even, he's very even-tempered, does everything for me. You know, car needs to be taken care of. That's done. Bills need to be paid.
Boy, you know what? There's a big but at the end of this sentence.
No kidding. We're ready for it.
The problem is that we have no relationship. He has a relationship with his ex-girlfriend. I don't know what the nature of his relationship, but it's been a secret, and it's been ongoing from the beginning. And, you know, I always find out, and he always says he's sorry, and then he always goes back. So it's like every couple of months, here's the ex-girlfriend. And last year was the final straw. And he told me that, well, he needs the relationship, and the problem is, and he told me that he's loyal to her. He doesn't know what to tell me. He said the problem is that I should have let him have his relationship from the initiation of the marriage, and then there wouldn't be a problem. And over it.
That's what cocaine addicts say, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, you know, if you met him, you would just love him and think, you know.
I wouldn't.
I'm lying.
I wouldn't.
We lived in the house. I'm always the one trying to work things out. Let's go get counseling. I'm always approaching him. He withdraws and he doesn't speak at all. And we lived in the house for 7 months and he didn't speak. I would try to appeal to him and, you know, talk to him. And for 7 months, he did not speak. He would live downstairs. I lived upstairs and it was just taking a toll on me and never bothered him. He just operated and I was losing my mind. There's a child in the house, and, well, it's my son. And it started, I could see how it was affecting him. 4 months later, I ended up moving out because he told me he didn't want to work the marriage out at all. That relationship is important to him, and that's what he needed. So I went ahead, moved out, and we don't speak at all. I've been gone since February. The only time he calls me, he's called me 3 times, and his conversation is, hello, this is whatever his name is, when are we going to do our taxes? That's it. Not how are you, not how is my son, and he's 15, no calls on the birthdays, nothing.
Okay.
Can I get a divorce now?
Maybe I ought to get an annulment.
Well, it's been 6 years.
Okay, first, before anything, we have to establish, is there anything he would be willing to do if you ask it in the right way at this time, even though he said no before? I suspect he is, since he's Mr. Wonderful, he would never leave you. He's probably waiting for you to file for divorce.
Yes, he is.
Okay. So,
you're absolutely right.
So,
has he said that to you?
No, I asked him a month ago, and he says, I haven't even thought of that.
But when Steve said that he thinks that's the strategy, you said, yes, he is. So where do you get that sense?
Well, you know, he wants everybody to love him, and I think he's in love with himself. He thinks he's this really wonderful man, and I'm the person. He says, I'm the problem. He has no empathy. He can't see why I'm hurt. I've never met a person that has no emotions. That's him.
Okay. How long did you know him before you married him?
A year and a half.
A year and a half.
But I thought he was just sent from a cloud. He was so wonderful.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm. All right. Well, I think you need to find out what he's willing to do now. And we'll take a break here in just a second.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Well, we're back. Steve Arterburn here. And this is really tough because Donna's in a marriage that really isn't much of a marriage. You know, when the Bible says a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife, it also means past girlfriends, too.
Well, the vow says forsaking all others.
You know,
so it's like...
That has not happened.
There's never been any fulfillment of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you stay, Donna? What are you holding on to for hope? Donna?
Yes. Oh. I'm not there. I left the house.
Why do you stay? Why do you not end the marriage? What do you hold on to as hope?
I don't have any hope.
Okay.
I just haven't. For it, the only reason why I didn't do it, well, I was kind of torn with my faith and finances. It just, you know, that's the truth. I was unsure because of my faith, because I wanted to do everything, but I can't do anything by myself. He's not willing to go to counseling. He doesn't want to be in the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I'm willing to let go. I realize that, you know, I can't make him do anything he doesn't want to do. And
Donna, this is so tough. If he doesn't want to go to counseling, one thing you might want to consider, short of a divorce, is to enter into a legal separation, which is not a divorce, where you let him see the financial realities of what he's getting ready to do, that they can be catastrophic, and say, I don't want to move in this way because this is not my intent, but I will drop this if you'll at least go to a few sessions with me. And the reason I say that is there's sometimes a guy or gal who is so resistant for whatever reason, But if you put the leverage of the reality of legal separation on them, that will get them into an office, and then the miracles happen in the office, because then there's safety and there's vulnerability, and there's a then you know there's an expert who can work with a relationship and bring a dead thing to life. So that would be my first.
We've been to counseling a lot over the throughout our entire marriage. We've gone to counseling, and he inevitably stops because he doesn't like what he's what's being said.
What did the counselor say to him?
She would talk about accountability, and we've been to a few different ones. Accountability, both of us being responsible for what we do, and he talks about how wrong it is to have other people involved in your marriage. Addressing, communicating.
Does he take responsibility for those things when they say that, or does he just kind of get quiet and passive and then say bad things out in the parking lot?
He just gets quiet, period. He doesn't. He just gets quiet, and he doesn't want to go back.
Well, then,
then he says that's how he feels.
Yeah.
He'll say, "Well,
sure, that's we all feel lots of ways." Then I think what I would think would be to say, "I'm not divorcing you, but I am going to protect my life and my child financially. And if you won't get any help, this is the reality." And I have seen cases where just that reality and the asset issue and the income issue and the custody issue and the support issue sometimes will make a person think, do I really want to do this? It may be time to do that.
But I feel like I'm living in the shadows of some other woman. You know, he doesn't want to be here. He's so protective and he's so hung up on that other relationship. I don't want to use all of that to bait him to stay with me. I don't want anybody to stay with me that doesn't want
to
stay.
It's not to stay with you. Marriage counseling exists so that a person that doesn't like somebody else gets in touch with family of origin issues, ownership issues, repentance issues, brokenness issues. It's not about come stay with me because of a hostage situation. Mm-hmm. I want to get you into the surgery so you can get well.
Right. Have you met this other girlfriend, ex-girlfriend?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't. She's just there the entire marriage.
Mm.
And he tells me that's who he's loyal to, and he's right.
Wow, that's hurtful.
And he doesn't understand why I'm hurt.
Well, I just want to underscore what John just said to you, Donna, that the legal separation is a step below divorce. It can be turned into a divorce at the early stages of it usually, but it also says, "Hey, I'm serious. I'm not going to, I don't want to continue this way. I want something to change. I want something to improve." And you don't know what he'll do. He may just shift it to a divorce, or he may say, "Okay, I'll go again and see what happens." But I don't know that you have a lot of hope for anything changing if he does go to counseling with
you,
because he avoids the whole issue of what's going on in the marriage, and it's like you're married to somebody who's been having an affair from the time he's got married.
Yeah.
And that's painful.
Wow. Sadly, there are some situations where they're impossible, and you may do this legal separation, and it cause no change whatsoever, and so Mr. Wonderful may have already divorced you, and he's waiting for you to take care of it. Yeah, and so the worst thing I think can happen is that you miss a chance to heal the relationship, and the next worst thing is that you don't deal with the reality that he already ended it, and it really does sound like he has.
Well, maybe
there's some hope with the legal separation.
The other thing, have you talked to an attorney, Donna, to look at your options?
She's not on anymore.
Okay. Well, I would talk to an attorney to find out what my options are,
right,
what the downside is, and weigh all of those things as well.
And also, we'll send you a copy of Who's Pushing My Buttons, because in that book it talks about in that waiting period where you're thinking you're in the shadow and you've still got these feelings for this person, how to fill your life up. I call it, the technical term is de-investment. When you're with a really toxic person, either through business or love or marriage or whatever, so you're not away from them, you have to be in relationship with them, you have to de-invest from the need for them to be different. So the stance is, I love him, I want his best, I don't need him, I'm not connected to him, but I want his best. Then I'm de-invested from him, and I'm putting my emotional investment in supportive people and good therapist and good small groups. You've got to de-invest or you can't tolerate the waiting.
And the other thing I tell somebody in her place is, you know, move on with your life.
Exactly.
Do what you would do if you were divorced without divorcing.
Right.
Yeah.
Have a full life.
And have a full life and see where that takes you, because that will give you the insight into what I need to do next.
Okay. Before we go to a break, a couple of things. I want to remind everybody that this Friday, there is still time for you to join us in Philadelphia for the New Life Weekend. And I would encourage Donna to come. This could be the thing that would give her the emotional vitamins and minerals that could help her see clearly of what to do. If you have been stuck and you don't know what to do, this is what you do. You take off a weekend. And from Friday to Sunday, you have a different perspective on life. If you're in a relationship that is stuck, it seems impossible, you come, you will be shocked at what will happen. If you're wondering whether or not your drug, alcohol, whatever it is a problem, come and let's discover whether or not it's a problem. Or maybe there was just an emotional problem there. This is where people receive healing. It's the Healing is a Choice New Life Weekend. I encourage you to call us right now. It is not too late. Especially if you're in the Northeast, this is our Philadelphia meeting, and it is going to be an amazing time. There is still room, but call us right now today and make your reservation. Also, I'm going to be speaking in Women of Faith in Atlanta on August the 12th, and if you tell them that you're a New Life listener, when you sign up, they'll give you $10 off. You just use the clever code LIFE, and they'll do that for you. Finally, you know that we have a $100,000 matching gift, and we are close to being able to receive that check for $100,000, and you could be the difference. You could put us over the top. So would you pray about maybe this is the time? Every dollar you give is really worth $2, or you could say somebody's going to give a dollar and it's going to be worth $100,000 because we're going to be able to finally receive this matching gift. Please pray about it, and if at all possible, help us in this process of, it's just going to be an amazing boost to us during the summer that's usually really, really tough. Also, if you go to the website, you can find out about all the things that we do here at New Life, and you can find out about John and Henry doing a workshop up in Northern California this Saturday on relationships and how it's not quite as difficult as you think it is. Unless you're married to Donna's husband, then it is more difficult than you can ever imagine it would be. But for most of us, we're not living on separate planets. We're in this together. So this is a great seminar. You can find out about that. But the New Life Weekend, Women of Faith. Also, don't forget we have an amazing alcohol and drug treatment center that can help you or someone in your family. We'll be back for a final segment. We'll do another show after this, so hang on.
Hi, this is Max Licato. My friends at New Life want to help you find healing and restoration based on God's truth. They have a workshop to help men who are stuck in the entanglement of pornography. They have another for both men and women to deal with any issue you might be facing, anger, depression, grief, or whatever you're struggling with, they can help you. Or if you know someone fighting an addiction to drugs or alcohol, they offer a Christian treatment program. And if you know someone struggling with an eating disorder, they can help you there too. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans about the transformation that comes through the renewing of your mind. It's God's Holy Spirit that makes this happen. And he's working through this ministry at New Life. Call today and see how you can experience that for yourself. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest.
particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're going to do another program. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. But our last caller on this program is going to be Nettie from Boston, Massachusetts, and she listens on the Internet. Hello, Nettie. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. So thank you for taking my call. I'm getting nervous. My question is, should I get a restraining order against my husband, or should I have him do another New Life weekend instead? He's sadistic. He's a narcissist. He's a cheater.
Hmm.
He abuses me.
Wow.
He raped me.
Oh.
When
did he rape you?
Just before he went to Every Man's Battle, after he confessed that he was on the internet watching pornography, but he wasn't watching it like other men. He just watched it like maybe once a week,
mm-hmm.
once every couple of weeks, and stuff like that. But the problem started when he went to bed with his brother's girlfriend when he was 18. His brother was still with that girlfriend. This is like, I've been married 25 years, so this is like 35 years ago.
It's very sad.
He stayed with her for 6 months, cheated on his brother for 6 months, and this girl never married the brother, never wanted to be committed. And then I met him, and I thought, I mean, I was kind of like nervous about the situation. He confessed to me that about that. And then when we got married, he made me look cheap to his parents to cover up the stuff with his brother.
Okay.
And then so his parents started looking down on me. This is how he is. And then we moved next door in a house that his parents built for us, and the torture began. His parents abused me so bad. My husband changed his behavior. He used to be very loving to me. It's like he's two people. He was two people, and he changed, became fearful, a pleaser, really even worse.
Okay.
And
so I think we get the picture of what's happened here. How could we help you? What's your question for us?
I don't know what I should do. I'm so broken emotionally.
Nettie, what have you done to help your situation?
I saw a counselor 2 years ago. He believed my situation. He said that my husband was psychotic. And then when my husband came in for counseling, and he told me to separate, my husband separated. He left the house for a week and a half and lied his way back in and told me that he was sorry. And I cried in his arms for 3 hours, and he said, "Oh, I'm not really sorry about Diana." Then this counselor decided to take my husband's side. I don't think that he was a pastor, but I don't think he was really, I think he was kind of more like my husband. I think he was abusive. Because it was terrible. It was just horrible. But I'm in another counselor now, and I don't think that she understands the depth of this situation, because she thinks that I should not get a restraining order.
Here's my problem, Nettie. Two counselors have had a different reality than you have on the depth of the problem. Why would that be?
This next counselor, she saw more of my pain.
Okay.
But she said, my husband was cheating on me on the computer with that girl.
Right.
That he went to bed with.
Right.
And she said, well, I think that what you really should say, I said, I think it's wrong. It's you know, cheating. And she goes, well, I think the real question is how does it affect the wife?
No. That was a wimpy thing to say. You're supposed to stand up for right and wrong. Nettie, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, and there was another real severe situation on the show yesterday. And there's a Bible verse that's in 1 Timothy 1, verse 9, which says the law is for the lawless, and your husband needs law around him. He needs someone confronting him on his hurtfulness and destructiveness and what he's doing for you, and you need to be protected. So what I would recommend to you is to tell your counselor, I've got to have a path because I'm not sure I can live with this man as destructive and scary as he is, and I might need to move out for a while with a friend.
See, that's the problem.
Why not?
So many things have happened to me that I'm seriously ill, and he abused me. Well, ill.
Died. What's your diagnosis?
Breakdown of the nervous system, Addison's disease.
Oh, goodness.
I lost all my muscle. My lungs are really bad. My hips, my spine. I'm just
So you need to be home so you can be getting well and recovering.
I have to have I have my two adult sons. I hid a lot of this from my kids because it was so
bad. Well, here's my thinking, though, Nettie, is when you're that weak and you've got that much emotional and physical disability, you need to be – two things need to happen. You need to be away from the bad stuff, and you need to be in a safe place. That might mean your son standing up to their dad. That might mean telling your husband that he needs to move out for a while. That might mean – calling social services. That might mean calling your church and saying, can the elders do an intervention? That might mean having a counselor that sits down and says, you're going to lose everything, Sam, if you treat it like this. My point is, there's lots of different ways to bring other people to bear, but you need other people to speak very directly to this man and bring him law so that you are protected. And there's that was five ways to do it, but that's the path.
Is he out of the house now, Nettie?
Well, she's not on anymore.
Because she was talking about a restraining order, and I don't know that would do any good.
I don't think she's out of the house
because
of her illnesses. Anyway, let me send you Healing is a Choice and Regret-Free Living, and I hope that those will be of help to you, Nettie.
Let's send Boundaries in Marriage to Steve.
Okay, we'll get that out to you. Anybody else, our resources are at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or at newlife.com. So please go to the website or call us. We would love to help you there. And right now we are close to a $100,000 check being written to our ministry. And you could be the difference right now today. You can make that difference. Would you please help us? Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can give online at our new website at newlife.com.
Other people are setting it up, and you can dunk it.
You betcha. Healing is a Choice is this Friday in Philadelphia. It is not too late to radically change your life or take it to the next level or enrich your relationship. You'll never forget it. You'll make a memory with whoever it is that you love. You'll make a memory with them, or if you're single, you'll make a memory that will either help you find somebody to love or to understand it when it happens to you. call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask about the New Life Weekend. We'll do another program right after this, so hold on, 1-800-229-3000. Thank you, Dr. Stu. Thank you, Dr. Townsend, and all of you that support us and listen. God bless you. Have a great day today.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.